Yesterday was a very bizarre day for me. Yesterday was what they call Recovery Day. Recovery Day because on Friday I went to a friend of mine's party, Mr. M's party, which was up in Highgate. Now, I haven't been to Highgate for some time. I also have only ever driven there. I've never done it by public transport. And I'm a bit out of my comfort zone if ever I have to go anywhere and I don't take the car with me. So I was going with a couple of friends of mine who are also in the radio business. And I said, well, let's meet at King's Cross Station. So me being me, I'm always early. I'm early for everything. I cannot be late. It makes me ill. So I thought I'd get there early. I've got my little bag, got my bag packed, you know, two pairs of pants, pair of socks, aftershave, boxes of tablets, you know, insulin. I mean, literally, it's most of the bathroom comes with me and just a few items, a couple of shirts and jeans and a pair of shoes. And that was it. So I set off on my journey, which is lovely. And I have to get the train from Twickenham into town, but I need to get to King's Cross. And somebody said to me, get off at Vauxhall. OK, so I get off at Vauxhall. By this time, I'm bursting for the toilet. I'm going through another one of my don't drink water, Stephen. It just goes through you very quickly. So I get off at Vauxhall Station and try and find a toilet. Well, I haven't tried to find toilets in London for many a year, and I'm not aware of the fact that they don't appear to exist. We've done away with ours in Twickenham. You have to go to the local Kentucky Fried Chicken, but I think you're probably sharing it with some of the down and outs. So I sort of get off the station, I go down, I think, where's the toilet? I know, Starbucks. I'll use the toilet in Starbucks. Go into Starbucks, and I get there, and there's a note on the door that says this toilet is out of order until further notice, which I thought, that's a bit naughty, isn't it? But probably they're sick to death of people like me just going in and going to use the loo. So as I'm coming out, a lady says to me, she says, I must tell you, she said, I'm a big fan. I listen every day. And I go, me too. And so she laughs, and I go, you don't know where the toilet is, do you? Is there a toilet round here? She goes, and this is my daughter, and she's been listening since she was born. So I now meet the whole family, which is great. How people recognise me, I've got no idea. Seriously, I mean, I thought I was in disguise. Long blonde wig, off the shoulder, little chemise number and high heels, but still people recognise me. So I go, right, lovely. Anyway, nice to meet you. So she said, you've made my day. Thank you very much. I said, that's fine. Thank you. Nice to talk to you. Have a nice weekend. Where's the toilet? So as I'm going to go down the stairs, I see a sign. Toilet. I thought, oh, brilliant. I don't mind paying. It was free. So I went to the toilet. Then I go on the underground. Well, you have to walk for miles at Vauxhall Station to actually get to the train. By the time I got there, seriously, the heart's pounding. I'm thinking, oh, God, don't have a heart attack now. So anyway, to cut a long story short, I get to King's Cross Station and we'd arranged to meet by platform 9 3/4. Platform 9 3/4 doesn't exist. OK, it's just pretend. But near it is a shopping trolley embedded into a wall, which signifies the beginning. And you can have a picture taken, you know, so you with your sort of holding on to, you know, jumping in the air and the scarf behind you and all this kind of gubbins. They've been doing it for ages and there's always a queue for it. I don't know if you have to pay. I'm not really interested. Couldn't care less. It makes no difference to me. So I'm standing there watching it. OK, so they're on. If you know King's Cross Station, you'll know where it is. It's a fenced off area for them where they all get herded like sort of cattle to go round and round and round. And the people who run it are very officious. So I'm sort of standing there and just to paint the thing. Behind me, there's some seats. And to my right hand side, there is a double door, which appears to go through into a little vestibule, which has got some seats in it. But I'm too busy texting. So I'm standing. I'm probably about 10 feet away from the barriers which surround the people queuing up to get a picture taken with a trolley. And so I'm sort of standing there and I'm sort of doing this. I've got my bag on my shoulder. You know, I don't look like a down and out. I'm not the sort of person who looks like a down and out. I'm a very smart person. And so this girl comes up to me. Excuse me, sir. Could you move around the other side? Sorry? Could you move around the other side? This is a fire exit. So I go, is it? Looking around, thinking perhaps I'm blind. Perhaps my cataracts have kicked in a bit earlier. So I said, where is the sign that says fire exit? Well, it's a fire exit. There was no sort of trying to justify it. It was a fire exit and she was telling me off. So she would like to move around the other side. I said, no, I wouldn't. I don't want to move around the other side. I'm an adult. And, you're blocking the fire exit. I said, I'm nowhere near the door. What are you talking about? And then it was sort of an escape route or something. Should an incident happen on the station, that was where people went through. But how you were to know this, I can't imagine, because there was no signs up. So anyway, so she said, would you like to move around? I said, no, I don't want to move around the other side. So I'm carrying on texting and all the rest of it. So she brings one of her colleagues over. This one's very officious. He's got a little tighter uniform on than she has. And he's got a badge, which proves that he's somebody important. So he waves his thing at me. I said, I've got a press card as well. So I'm still standing there. So he said, well, you know, this you're blocking. I thought, how am I blocking it? There's no sign that says, and there's nothing on the floor, absolutely nothing, that says this area is designated as. So you have to be either psychic or a member of the Duwalali team who sort of support Harry Potter and a shopping trolley, half of which is embedded in a wall. So he said, if you can move around the other side. I said, I don't want to move around the other side. I thought, who are these people? These are real Jobsworths, real Jobsworths. So anyway, he said, well, I'll call the police. I thought, are you mad or something? Is there something the matter with you? Have you got some chips on your shoulder? So anyway, he then goes inside the double door, which is not marked with anything at all. And out comes this woman. So she said, what's the situation? I said, what situation? I thought, have they all gone mad down at King's Cross Station or something? Or have they all got big chips on their shoulder? And so she says, where were you standing? So I said, here. She said, you need to go 1 foot backwards. What? Are you completely off your trolley, woman? So anyway, so I go, what for? She said, this is an escape route. I said, where is the sign? Try and prove to me, you know, not being psychic and not being blind, show me the sign that says this is an escape route or this is designated a fire exit. I said, I do work in a building where there are signs everywhere. You have to have them by law. Why are King's Cross immune from this? So anyway, this load of cobblers goes on for a little while. And meanwhile, the security guard, who hates me, who quite clearly hates me, and I hate him too, and I hate the girl as well, who's very officious. And of course, they all stand there looking at me. And I'm thinking, do you know, basically, sod you. I'm not moving anywhere. Next thing, a 6'6" policeman appears talking to them. And so I'm on the phone by this time to a friend of mine. And she's saying, oh, I've done your transfers. I said, I'm about to be arrested. She said, how'd you get yourself into these situations? I said, but I'm not doing anything. I'm just standing here on the telephone. So anyway, so eventually the policeman comes over and said, you'll have to wait, I'm on the phone. I thought, I'll make anybody wait. And he was only a plastic policeman. He was British Transport Police, but he wasn't proper. He was like, you know, it's part-time job, community support. You know, so it's plastic. So he's about 6'6". He's South African, as it turns out. His mother's a school teacher. I could tell you everything about him. And so he said, so what's the situation? I said, has everybody gone mad on this station or something? I said, I'm standing here waiting for some friends of mine who are coming down from... And he said, where are they coming from? I said, what do you want, their address? I said, they're coming from Leeds and one's coming from Manchester. So by this time, I'm now really fed up. I'm thinking, oh, just handcuff me. I should do my screaming up the suffragettes and all that kind of stuff business as I'm dragged out the station, probably to be strip searched with a bit of luck. But anyway, we didn't quite get that far. Even though I produce my own stirrups. And so he said to me, so where were you standing? I said, where I'm standing now. He said, well, the girl is very frightened of you. So I laughed. Probably not the best thing to do. I said, what, for standing here texting on a telephone by the Harry Potter half a trolley embedded in a wall exhibit? He said, well, this is a fire exit. I said, so people keep telling me. She said, you were blocking the fire exit. I said, well, unless I bring out half the Mounties and the South African police force, I said, of course I'm not blocking the door. I'm nowhere near it. Nowhere near it. I said, anyway, where is the sign saying this is a fire exit? He said, well, it doesn't have one. That's what I thought, legally by law, it's supposed to have a sign. So anyway, so then we start sort of chatting and he goes, so what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a radio presenter. OK, my mother's a teacher. I thought, I really couldn't care less. I'm not remotely bothered. I knew about his family. I knew, in fact, he had a brother. I knew about the housing problem in South Africa. I knew about murders. And here they are faffing around like a bunch of girls' blouses over somebody who's getting a bit too near to a fire exit door at King's Cross Station, which isn't marked. It's like standing outside Pret a Manger and somebody saying, are you using the toilet? And you go, I don't think so, no. And they go, well, you look like you're going to. So anyway, so luckily the friend of mine then turned up. I thought, thank God, because up until then, I think he maybe thought I was spinning a story about I've got a friend coming down. And it was at that moment I was nearly dialing Samaritans on speed dial, because I've got them on speed dial in case I need a friend quickly and somebody to talk to. And a friend of mine turns up, of course, does the wrong thing, throws his arms around me. Hi, darling, puts a big kiss. By this time, the policeman is like, oh, my God. So I'm going, oh, look, friend, hello, great, quick, run. And so he goes, you have a nice day. And I go, thank you. And you too, you know, regards to your mother and the rest of the family. And I'm thinking, I don't like King's Cross Station anymore, but it gets better. We go outside of the station. We then meet up with the other one who's coming into Euston. And we decided they wanted to get the tube to Archway. And I said, listen, I'm an international celebrity, booked up for weeks in advance. People know me. I get accosted going into toilets, you know, and I've had traffic with sort of South African policemen. And so I said, we're going to take a taxi. Prior to this, I'd watched some woman standing in a shop called Accessorize being arrested by 8 police officers. She had what can only be described as a trunk full of stuff that she'd thieved. And she's, as with all shoplifters, go on, touch me, don't you touch me. And we're getting all, and I'm there going, I'm on the phone to a friend going, you won't believe what I'm watching. 8 coppers to nick one woman, but it was entertaining. So we get outside the station, taxi, we need a taxi, black taxi. I'm very big into black taxis. So we see a taxi, go up to it. He winds his window down and there's 3 of us standing there. They probably look like tourists. I look like maybe I'd been here for a few years. All got little cases. Mine is the smallest because I travel light. And he goes, yes. And I go, one of the boys goes, are we going to Archway? We're going to the Premier Inn. I know, don't laugh, but it was really good. And so he says, take the cab behind. He said, because I'm joining the rank. So I say, where's the rank? And he said, just down there. And it was off to the left. So, OK, so he then poddles off and we get the next taxi. So the guy winds the window down and he says, did he just turn you down for a fare? And we said, yes. He said, where are you going? We said, we're going to Archway. He said, and he turned you down. Well, of course, as you all know, black-tapped taxi drivers, if you wind your window down, you have accepted the fare. You know, you're not allowed to then go, terribly sorry, mate, I'm not going your direction. And also, it's a 20 quid fare, so it's not exactly cheap. So he then says, get in. So we all sort of get in, chatting. And he's a very chatty guy. He's diabetic, 54, black, been driving a taxi for 25 years. We know everything about him. We know everything about this guy because we talk to people because we're in radio. And also I'm filling a programme. And so we're chatting away. Anyway, he says, wait a minute. And he pulls up alongside the taxi who turned us down, winds his window down. He says, what do you think you're doing, mate? A bit like that. What do you think you're doing, mate? You know, slightly butcher voice than me. And so the bloke said, what's good to do with you? He said, you're not allowed to turn fares down. He said, people like you bring the black trade into disrepute. He said, small wonder people are deserting us and going to things like Uber. Well, for the next 5 minutes, there was a tirade of abuse going on between these two black cab drivers, one being black in a black cab, and arguing. And he's getting the other one then starts going, why don't you off as well and all this kind of stuff. We're sitting in the back recording it, you know, just in case we end up in Bow Street Magistrates and my 6'6" South African part-time policeman comes back and says, by the way, I thought he was going to cause a bit of trouble with a shopping trolley. In a South African accent, but we didn't do that because otherwise that would be racist, so we don't do it. So anyway, then the black cab on the left-hand side moves further. I think, oh, that's good. We're all going to move off. No, he pulls alongside him again. Down comes the window. Listen, mate, he says, don't screw up for black cab drivers. He said, you're the thing that, you know, is bringing us down and all this kind of stuff. Well, this kicks off big time. So anyway, eventually we sort of set off on our journey. You know, by this time I'm dehydrated, I need water, I'm insulin dependent, and I need all this kind of stuff. And so we start chatting. He said, he's really wrong. He said, he's in the wrong. He said, we could have taken that further. And he turned up to the nicest guy. I said, you've just got yourself a bigger tip. I mean, he might have an arrangement with the other guy that they argue all the time and they get bigger tips. It could. I mean, I might have been suckered into something. I don't know. But at the time, we thought, what a nice guy. And he was so nice. He was so nice that he sort of dropped us off in the right place. And then we staggered into the Premier Inn. And that's where the next bit of trouble started, because the friends of mine had booked me into a disabled room. OK, now I don't mind having a gymnasium in the bathroom. I think it's actually quite a nice idea that while you're in there, you can do some exercise. But it also had a wonderful thing, which is a pull thing by the toilet. So you can be on the toilet and pull this thing and people arrive in your bathroom. It's absolutely amazing. It sort of says, pull this for attention. And I was feeling a bit down. So, you know, I thought, should I, shouldn't I? But 63 quid for a double room with, you know, all your Wi-Fi connectors and all the rest of it. Even a hairdryer, a bit of a waste of time, but it was fun. And mirrors everywhere. Mirrors everywhere. I don't know if it's normal in Premier Inns, but when you get out of the shower, I do not want to see myself in the mirror. It's just horrible, isn't it? You should have just plain, you know, walls covered, I don't know, stippled, anything like that. But you don't want to see yourself in a mirror. And they give you one towel. Well, it's barely big enough to cover your bits. I mean, luckily, if I'm sharing a room with somebody, which thank God I wasn't. And so we sort of, we'd already had a bottle of Prosecco in the bar, which was very nice. And I had some glasses, which I bought, plastic glasses, which when you put liquid in, the glass lit up. It was activated. Well, everybody in the restaurant thought this was the funniest thing ever. And the woman came over, oh, you've got glasses and all the rest. Yeah, we got glasses and all the rest of it. So we left them for them. And we then decide we can have a little lie down for an hour and then go and have something to eat and then go on to this party, which was full of all sorts of interesting people. I mean, Andrew Ridgeley was there, put it that way. I mean, you know, even I was quite surprised, but it was lovely. And so we go and have dinner and they go, there's a special offer on. I go, oh, I love a special offer. You can have your dinner, two courses and a glass of wine and an all-you-can-eat breakfast for 25 quid each. So I thought, oh, let's go for that, 25 quid each. So I very unwisely had the rump steak. Well, to be honest with you, I'm not sure whether the animal that mine came from was actually dead or had actually consumed anything, because this thing kind of shrunk on the plate while I was looking at it. And I sort of thought, and it was very sinewy. And I'm used to fillet steak, because luckily I'm well paid and I can afford to eat fillet steak anytime I like. And so we had this sort of rump, and it was a bit uninteresting, and the fries were a bit uninteresting, but the glass of wine kind of eased it down. And we then go off to the party. Now, unfortunately, I'm not a huge drinker. I can drink Prosecco, but they gave me Sambuca. Now, I'm diabetic, and Sambuca is like really bad news. So I'm having three or four of these, and I'm finding myself talking to strangers and finding them interesting, which is unusual for me. I generally don't find people interesting. And I'm drinking all this Sambuca, and it's all very nice indeed. And then I suddenly got to that stage at about 12:30, 12:45. I wanted to go home. I wanted to go home and see my mummy. I didn't want to go home full stop. I didn't want to be there anymore. I was so tired because I'd been up so early the night before. And so I remember, because I wasn't drunk, fully over drunk. I just had enough, really, because I'd been drinking Sambuca. And so I thought, all I want to do, it'd been my dream, as you remember from last week, to have a kebab. This was my opportunity, but I didn't know where I was. So I wandered off down the road at about sort of, must have been about 12:45, I think, or something like that, not knowing where I was going. Luckily, I'd not taken my wallet or my phone or anything, because just in case you get drunk and you lose things, and I didn't want to fall into that category. So I wandered down the road. Luckily, I'm by a station. I can't remember what it was, but it certainly wasn't the station I wanted. And there was a kebab shop, so I had a kebab. So I'm leaning up against the ticket office having a kebab. Thank God nobody saw me. And eventually I thought, right, I'm going to get a taxi back to the hotel. So I remembered we were Archway, and it was next to Archway. So black cab. I can't even remember how much it cost. I really got no idea. And I then go into the hotel, climb into bed, and I was out for the count until about 4:15 in the morning. So this is Saturday morning. When I woke up, because the room was quite hot, and I hadn't managed to fathom out how to turn the lights off. And it turns out you've got to take your room card out of a slot on the wall to turn it. Well, I'd forgotten about that. So anyway, and so I fell asleep. When I woke up, I had a panic attack. The panic attack was, I need to go home now. I really need to go home now. Breakfast didn't start till 7:00. There was no way that I was going to be surviving till breakfast. So I thought, right, I'll call up my cab company. But I couldn't remember my account number or my password. So the woman at the other end said, she said, right, where are you? So, oh, girl, where am I? So I packed my little bag and I'm standing outside on the street looking for all the world like somebody who's about to be mugged. And believe you me, the amount of people who came over to me and asked me for money, in the end, I felt, you know, I kept saying, you know, I haven't got any money, which I had, of course. I had about 300 quid on me. Plus, I'm trying to hide the watch and everything else, thinking I'm a target. So the woman said, where are you? And I found the road name, and luckily next to it had the postcode, which I think was N9. So I said, N9. She said, what's your account number? I can't remember. And I couldn't remember it. And what I'd remembered was the password, which wasn't the account number. And so she said, well, what you can do is I can give you the car and then you can transfer it to the account later. Or because you can't remember the account, you know, you can't just make something up. You can either pay by credit card or cash. Well, I'd have mortgaged my place to get home. I just wanted to get home. I wanted to get home and I wanted to get home now. And so I said, well, how much is it? Thinking, because I'm in Archway in Twickenham, it's a long way apart. And she said, I'll just have a cheque for you. £40. Now, I thought that was unbelievable. I thought she was going to say 80. I thought she was going to say 80, because I thought that was really £40 and 10 pence cash. So anyway, the bloke turns up within 5. I'm standing there, they're still fending off people going, excuse me, mate, you've got any money? No, I haven't, no. And he turned up and I get in the car and I'm thinking, do you think this really is £40? Because we came in via Brent Cross. We're going down past Ealing and all the rest of it. I mean, it was really, we go over Kew Bridge and then down the road. And it was a long way out for 40 quid. So I gave him 45. And he said, are you sure? And I went, worth every penny. I just wanted to get home. That's all I wanted to do. I wanted to get in. I didn't care about anything else. And I'd remembered to put in the tickets for the breakfast for the boys, because we bought these ticket things. So luckily, because I'd have been absolutely throwing myself out of a window, they didn't wake up till about 11 o'clock. And they went down for breakfast about 11:30. So by this time, of course, I'm at home. They didn't know where I was. They just sent me texts saying, where are you? But I didn't have the strength to answer the telephone. So all in all, it was a very, very exciting weekend. And I did mention it to a friend of mine the other day. And she said, that's the first half an hour of the programme for Sunday. And I said, you're not wrong.